Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming, and a special thank you to Brian for putting it together, for the emails, the reminder today, and a very big happy birthday to Seth. So normally, you know, the recipient should be, the birthday individual should be the recipient of a party, but here Seth and his generosity makes all of us the recipients of the party. So yashar koach, Seth, your mazel should be renewed on your birthday for a lot of bracha for many years to come. Mazel tov. Yashar koach, thank you. So tonight the topic is about the fact that Tisha B'Av is called a moed. It's called a holiday. Now, presumably that's tongue-in-cheek. The Navi says, Kara olai mo'ed lishbor bachurai. He declared against me a set time to smash my young men. So the word mo'ed is being used as a set time. And Tisha B'Av is a time that has been set, unfortunately, for tragedy. It goes back to the spies who came back on the 8th of Av, and everybody was crying that night. And when everyone was crying about bad news about the land of Israel, so God said, if you cry for no reason, I'll make sure that this is a night that there'll be reasons to cry. So there's something about the time itself. It's a time, unfortunately, that attracts problems. It attracts difficulties. As the Gemara says, five tragedies occurred to our ancestors on Tisha B'Av. The spies came back, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the city Beitar was destroyed, and Yerushalayim itself was plowed over. The city itself was plowed over from being a mountain, from being a home. It went back to being a field. And so all these tragedies that occurred are from the day itself. Later in history as well, on the 9th of Av, we had the terrible tragedy of the expulsion from Spain in 1492. Some would even credit the tragedies of the 20th century to the 9th of Av, because a lot of it goes back to World War I, and World War I began on the 9th of Av in 1914. So the day itself is a day primed for misfortune. Kara alai mo'ed, he called against me a set time, lishbor bachurai, to smash my young people. The day itself pulls all sorts of misfortunes. But in halacha, we find a different idea. The word mo'ed, normally what does the mo'ed mean? It's a festival, a holiday. We talk about mo'adim l'simcha, holidays for joy. The halacha says that Tisha B'Av Karui Moed, Tisha B'Av has the status of a holiday. We don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. It's a holiday. We don't say the added prayers that extend the silent Amida of requests, of supplication, because it's a festive time. And that's so striking. What is there about Tisha B'Av that could possibly be festive? As Seth wrote in the email, you know, Tisha B'Av is a party. It could happen. How could it be that Tisha B'Av would be a party? Tisha B'Av is a day of Lishbar Bachurai, of such tragedies, so many tragedies. And yet in the halacha, there is an aspect that the 9th of Av is a holiday. It has festive characteristics without the prayers of sadness, of Tachanun. How could that be? How could the 9th of Av, a day where throughout Jewish history... Kevin, welcome. Thank you. Is this your son?
This is the rabbi.
So nice to have you. Thank you for joining us. Please come, have something to eat, enjoy. So how could it be that the 9th of Av, the day that throughout Jewish history is the time of so many tragedies, is considered mo'ed, is considered a holiday? So traditionally people say it's a holiday because on the 9th of Av, that's when the ultimate great Jewish king, Mashiach ben David, will be born. We find that in Jewish history, we had a false Messiah. His name was Shabtai Tzvi. So why was his name Shabtai? His name was Shabtai because the year he was born was a year like this year, where the ninth of Av was Shabbos. And he was born on the ninth of Av. So his parents wanted to mark his birth to the date, that his name should be all about the date of his birth. So they took the word Shabbos and they made it Shabtai. They came to my Shabbos, Shabbati, my Shabbos. Shabtai Tzvi was really named for the fact that he was born on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth of Av, which was a Shabbos that year. And unfortunately, he used that fact to push this myth that he himself was Mashiach, that he was the Messiah, he was a false Messiah. And unfortunately, thousands of Jews were led astray following this false Messiah, Shabtai Tzvi. But there is a tradition that on the ninth of Av, the real Mashiach, the real Redeemer, will be born. So when Mashiach is born, that's going to be a great holiday. So even though now the ninth of Av is a sad day, because it's the birthday of the ultimate Redeemer, it deserves to be considered Moed, a holiday. But Rav Moshe Shapiro challenges this understanding. It doesn't seem that there's basically a day of sadness. And incidentally, there's some good things going on this day. So because of the incidental good aspect that Mashiach is being born, that's why it should be called a Moed, a holiday. Because this year, the ninth of Av is Shabbos. Mashiach's born on the ninth of Av. And when are we going to commemorate the fasting and the sadness of the ninth of Av? We can't do it on Shabbos, so we're going to fast on Sunday. But this year, on a Sunday, we're also not going to say Tachanun. It's also going to have the status of a celebratory time. Why should it be a celebratory time? If the reason why it's celebratory is that this is the day that Mashiach is born, Mashiach's not going to be born on Sunday, the 10th of Av. He's born on the 9th of Av. And yet on Sunday, the 10th of Av, this year, we will fast, we will have all the displays of mourning, we won't wear leather shoes, we won't bathe, we'll do all the different things that we won't wash ourselves, you know, all the aspects of mourning, but we also won't say Tachanun. We won't have the added prayers of sadness. Why shouldn't we be saying Tachanun? Why is it called Moed if it's the 10th of Av? If the reason why it's Moed is that it's the day of the birth of Mashiach, and the birth of Mashiach is somewhat celebratory. So it seems that the very day, the mourning, the sadness, Eicha, the lamentations, the kinos, the eulogies, the very day itself, while it's a day of tremendous sadness, paradoxically, together with the sadness, it's also somehow Moed, it's also a holiday. And how could that be? How could it be that the time of such terrible sadness is simultaneously also the time of Moed, the time of happiness? We find that the Gaon of Vilna points out that in Kohelet, in the beginning of the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, King Shlomo lists the times and the seasons. Lakol zman ve'eis lakol chefetz. There's a time and there's a season for everything. So ace lintos, there's a time to plant, ace la cornatua, time to uproot what's planted, ace la ledes, a time to give birth, ace la mus, a time to die. But then there are two times that don't have a lamin in front of them. Ace rekod, ace fod, the time of dance, the time of eulogy. So the Gra says, because all the other times are separate. The time to be born is not the same as the time to die. But Eis Fod, Eis Rekod, the time to eulogize, the time to dance, is simultaneous. Because when a person dies, so in this world, they eulogize him. So in this world, they're saying eulogies. At the same time that they're saying eulogies about the fact that the soul left the body, in heaven, all the angels are dancing that this soul came in. And all the nice things that they say about a person who passed away are simultaneously being celebrated in heaven as the angels are excited to have this soul in their company. So it's Eis Fod, it's the time of eulogy, together with Esrakod, the time of dancing. The angels are dancing when the people are eulogizing. And if coming together, it's simultaneously both a time of eulogy and a time of dance. And somehow, Tisha B'Av is also like that. It's both a time of terrible sadness, of all the tragedies that have occurred throughout Jewish history on this time. It's a time for mourning. And with the time for mourning, it's also Moed. It's also a holiday. We don't say Tachanun. We're somewhat deep down celebratory. So where is there a Moed aspect? How is it that the mourning of Tisha B'Av itself creates Moed, creates joy? So one idea is found in the Sefer Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar is an amazing work. The Mepirsh Elimelech of Dinov, who was one of the great Hasidic rabbis, a student of the Chozah of Lublin, and he talks about the celebratory nature of Tisha B'Av. And he suggests that the answer is based on a very strange lesson that the Gemara has in Masechet Yoma. The Gemara says that when the Romans, or maybe it was the Babylonians, when the Babylonians came into the temple, they made their way into the holiest of holies. In the holiest part of the holy temple, there was the Aron, the holy ark, the holy box, that had on it, it looked like it was all gold, because it was covered with gold on the outside. It had on its top two little statues, Kruvim. They looked like angels with wings and baby faces. And normally the Kruvim were on a swivel. And if the Jews were doing good, they would turn towards each other, symbolizing that God, being the male, the Jewish nation, being the female, are in a good relationship, face to face, with love, with care for each other. But if the Jews are not doing well, and we're not fulfilling commandments, and we're upsetting the Almighty, then the two Kruvim would turn away from each other. So as to represent the idea that God, the male, is turning away from his nation, from the Jews, the female, he doesn't want to give so much. When the enemies entered into the Kodesh HaKodashim and they saw the ark, they found the Kruvim, the two cherubs, not only were they faced towards each other, they were Me'urin Zebazeh. They were literally inside one another. They were locked in the most intimate of embraces. Literally the most intimate moment. And so these enemies of the Jews grabbed this and they ran around Jerusalem and they said, look at this. Look, the Jews, they're so supposedly holy, they're supposedly godly. This is what they have in their holiest of holies. It's an abomination. It's disgusting. There's nothing about this nation. And that's what was going on. The non-Jews were running around Jerusalem with these two cherubs locked in the most intimate of embraces, saying, what a disgusting nation. This is the core of their holiest of holies. So it is in fact strange. It's not the normal posture. And if anything, if we're losing the temple, God's upset with us. So the cherubs should turn away from each other. Okay, maybe they'll turn towards each other, but to be locked in an intimate embrace at this moment, how is that appropriate? How is that the right thing? Says the Bnei Yisachar, an amazing, amazing idea. He says there is a law in Halacha that a husband is obligated to show great affection to his wife right before he's about to leave on a lengthy trip. So if he's about to go on some lengthy trip to the Far East or to out west, he's going to be away for a while. The night before he leaves, Chayav Adam Lifkodes Ishto Samuch Shiyotze Laderech. A husband is obligated to be extremely affectionate with his wife right before he goes away on a trip. So why is that? The Bnei Yisachar says an amazing thing. He said many times when a couple are with each other, but to some degree they start to take each other for granted. And they don't necessarily show great affection to each other. But when they're about to separate, it's going to be a long separation. He's going away on a long trip. So that creates a sense of longing, a sense of tshuka, a sense of desire. I'm going to miss this person. And that desire, halacha says, has to be expressed and has to take physical form. The reason why the Almighty had the cherubs locked in the most intimate of embrace at the moment that the Jewish nation are being exiled on the ninth of Av is because it was a moment when the Jews are going out on a long trip. The husband, God, is leaving on a long trip. We're going to go out into exile. We're going to be all over the world. We're going to be far from the spirituality and the holiness and the miracles that were always in the holy temple in Yerushalayim. We're going to be far from it all. We're going to be far from the miracles that were constantly in the Beit HaMikdash. And so because we're about to be distant from each other, that itself creates the longing. And because it created the longing, God displayed the great affection of the cherubs locked in the most intimate of embraces. Says the Bnei Yisachar, maybe the reason why Mashiach is supposed to be born on the ninth of Av is because the soul of Mashiach is a very great soul. And for such a holy soul to come down, it has to be a moment of tremendous closeness between God and the Jewish people. And so when God is about to leave, when we're going into exile, we're about to relive, every year we relive what happened. We relive that moment of God leaving and going out on a long trip. When he's about to go on the long trip, there's a longing for each other. And the longing actually, paradoxically, it's longing because of the separation. Because of the separation, there's longing, there's attachment, there's great closeness, and that great closeness enables an amazing, amazing soul to come down into this world. It enables the soul of Mashiach to come down into this world. There's an amazing idea of the Maharsha. The Maharsha says that this season, from the 17th of Tammuz till the 9th of Av, corresponds to the season from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres. These 22 days from the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av correspond to the 22 days from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres. And in fact, there were many great Hasidic Rebbes that on each day of the 9 days, they used to prepare the Dvar Torah for Sukkot. So on the first day of the 9 days, they would prepare the Dvar Torah for the first day of Sukkot, for the Ushpiza of Avram Avinu. And on the second day of the month of Av, they would prepare the Dvar Torah for Yitzchak Avinu, the Ushpiza of Yitzchak Avinu, because these 22 days correspond to these 22 days, which means that the 9th of Av corresponds to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a day of tremendous attachment between God and the Jewish people. The whole holiday of Sukkot is a holiday of many, many sacrifices. It's very atypical. Normally, when we had our holidays, when we had the Beit HaMikdash, so on each day of the holiday, they'd give the same sacrifices. But on Sukkot, each day of the holiday would be a different number of sacrifices. On the first day, 13 bulls, 14 sheep, two rams, the second day 12 bulls, the third day 11 bulls, and then 10 bulls, going down all the way to 7 bulls. Why? So the Gemara says that all these bulls, Parei Achag, correspond to the nations of the world. There are 70 bulls offered during Sukkot, corresponding to the 70 nations of the world, and the numbers keep going down because the power of the nations will go down and down and down until eventually the Jewish people will rise to its rightful place to be the leaders of the world, to be the nation that everybody looks up to. So the nations are going down, and the number of bulls is going down, 13, 12, 11, down and down and down. Then you get to Shmini Atzeret. And on Shmini Atzeret, the offering is one bull. Why one bull? Har Echad, Ayil Echad, one bull, one ram. Says the Gemara, on Shmini Atzeret, you know what it's like? It's like a king who makes a huge party, and everybody comes to the party. The whole capital comes to the party. And when they're all finished, he turns to his best friend. He says, I want to have a party, just me and you. The friend says, well, what can I do already? You already had the big party. He says, no, now it's just a private meal, me and you. Says the Medrash, that's Shmini Atzeres. It's just God and the Jewish people. Me and you, one bull. Just me and you, one nation. Nagila v'nismacha bach. We will be happy and rejoice in you. Bach in Gematria is 22. It's the 22nd day of the month of Tishrei when God celebrates Shmini Atzeres. And Bach, with you, with your Torah, just you and the Torah. There are 22 letters that make up the Torah. God is celebrating the Torah with us. It's Him and us. That's Shmini Atzeres. And Shmini Atzeres, the day that the Zohar calls Yichud Ashlim, the total union with God. In fact, the word Yichud has as its root the word Yachad, Yud Ches Dalid, which is also in Gematria 22. So Yud Ches Chai, together with Dalid, it's a whole thing in Kabbalah. That's the idea of 22, to combine the attribute of Yesod with the four revelations of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Yichud, that union, that amazing union, that happens on Shmini Atzeres, and Tisha B'Av is the day that is parallel to it. It seems like the opposite. Shmini Atzeres is us alone with God. And Tisha B'Av is we are separating from God. God's sending us out into exile. He's leaving. We're going to be alone on our own. But paradoxically, when we're going to be alone on our own, right before we're alone, there's an arousal of tremendous love, and that love is the Mo'ed, that's the holiday of Tisha B'Av. The holiday of Tisha B'Av is to feel that there is a tremendous love, an attachment, a longing. We're about to disconnect, so there's a longing for Him. That's one idea that the Hasidim say. I want to share a different idea, but it's a similar idea. And this is based on an amazing thought of the Meshech Chachma. There's a Gemara in the Masechta Chagiga where the Gemara is talking about Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei. The Gemara says Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, he was an amazing person. Whenever the heretics would say things to try to attack scripture and verses, he always had the best defenses, the best answers. So the Gemara has a story. He was in Rome at the home of the Caesar. And there was a Jewish heretic there, a fellow who had left observance, was very anti-observance. And this fellow wanted to get under Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya's skin. So he took his face and he moved it like this, like moved his head away. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya took his arm and he moved his arm down. So the Caesar turned to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. He said, what's going on here? You're in front of the Roman Caesar and you guys are gyrating a face, an arm. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said, that guy, that heretic, is trying to say that God has turned his face away from us. Amad adrinu mare la'ape mine. A nation that God turned his face away. God destroyed the temple, turned away from the Jewish people, the terrible idea that the Christians have, supersession. That now God has chosen a new Israel with a new testament, a new religion, a new leader. The Christians are the ones chosen. The Jews have been rejected. He's turned away from us and chosen somebody else. And I was signaling back, no, even when God turns his face away, Yado Netuya Aleinu, his hand is still outstretched towards us. Even though he turns his face away, he's still reaching out. He's still loving us. Then the Caesar turned to this heretic. He said, what was going on? So the heretic said, I was saying to him that God has turned away from you. And what was he saying back? He said, I have no idea what he was saying back. So the Caesar said, well, if you're going to get involved with pantomime and motions in front of the Caesar and not understand what's going on, you deserve to die. And the Caesar went and killed this heretic. That's the Gemara's story. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the heretic was saying God has rejected the Jews and turned away from us, destroyed the temple, given other nations the favor that he used to give us. And we're saying it's not so visible, but even though it's not visible, God's hand is there. He's helping us. He's taking care of us. He's still close to us. And the Caesar, the heretic, he doesn't see that because he doesn't believe that God is still taking care of us. For, as far as he's concerned, it's all that God has turned away from us. So he only knows that God has turned away. And we say, no, Yadunatu Yalenu, God's hand is still outstretched towards us. And when the Caesar heard that we believe and we feel that his hand is still stretched towards us, at that point, the Caesar said, listen, the Jews are still beloved. This heretic who's saying the Jews aren't beloved is wrong, and he deserves to be punished. So here there's an amazing idea of the Meshech Chachma. Amazing idea. In Parsha Shmos we read that when Moshe Rabbeinu gets to the burning bush, God says to him, you have to go down to Egypt and redeem the Jews from Egypt. So Moshe says, if the people ask me, what's the name of the person who sent, or the being who's sending me, what should I say? What name should I identify you by? So God said, you should say, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I will be that I will be. That's my name. And then Moshe keeps fighting with God, I'm not willing to go. And then finally God says, okay, just say, Eheyeh Shlachani Aleich. I will be sent me to you. So initially it was, I will be that I will be. And then God says, you know what, it won't be I will be that I will be, just I will be sent me to you. Meshech Chachma says an amazing thing. He said, we know in the tefillin, in the special boxes that have the four sections of Torah in them, the name of God appears 21 times. But we have two pairs of tefillin. We have the tefillin on the head, and we have the tefillin on the arm. So that means 21 and 21 is a total of 42. Between the two tefillins, the name of God appears 42 times. In one box of tefillin, you'd only have 21 times the name of God. Each box of tefillin has the name of God 21 times. The Gemara tells us in the Sechet of Brachos that the verse says, V'ro'u kol amei ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, v'yaru mimecha. All the nations of the world will see the name of God on you, and they will fear you. The Gemara says, you know what that is a reference to? Elu tefillin shebarosh. That's the tefillin of the head. If the nations see the tefillin of the head, then they fear you. But there's not only tefillin of the head, there's also tefillin of the arm. So the Meshech Chachma says like this. If we merit to have both the arm tefillin and the head tefillin, then God is revealed. Because the head tefillin are open. The arm tefillin are put under our shirt sleeve or under our jacket. The arm tefillin are hidden. If we merit that we both have the head tefillin and the arm tefillin, God is revealed. And when God is revealed in this world, the nations of the world are intimidated and they're not starting up with us. But sometimes we don't merit to have the head tefillin because unfortunately we are not meriting to see God revealed in this world. So when we don't have the head tefillin, but at least we have the arm tefillin. So then it's not v'yaru mimecha. It's not that the nations will be afraid. But there'll still be God's love for us. Even hidden within, underneath the covers, God is still taking care of us, still helping us. That's represented by the arm tefillin. So that's what God says initially. Tell the Jews, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I will be that I will be. The name of God, Eheyeh, equals in Gematria 21. Tell the Jews, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I will be that I will be. 21 plus another 21, the head tefillin with the arm tefillin. A total of 42 times the name of God. 42 times the name of God, God being revealed not only on the arm, but revealed to the whole world because he's on the head and the whole nation, all the nations in the world are afraid of God. Tell the Jews that. But then, you know what? Maybe there'll be times of exile when the Jews don't see God revealed in the world. Even when God is not openly revealed in the world, but we still have the arm tefillin. And based on the arm tefillin, Eheyeh Shlachani Aleichem, there's 21 times the name of God in the arm tefillin. And God is still protecting us, even when it's hidden within the guise of nature, and he's not openly revealing miracles. He's also taking care of us. So that's what's going on in this Gemara Masechta Chagiga. The heretic says, God has turned his face away from you. He's turned away the head. So in other words, I don't see the revealed godliness. So the nations of the world are not scared. And therefore you guys are in trouble. And we say back, no, but Yadonatuya Aleinu. His arm is still stretched to us. There's still the arm tefillin. The arm we are wearing, we still have the name, the 21 names of God of Yesh Lachani Aleichem, that even when it's all times of exile, God is taking care of us. Unbelievable miracles. God is always taking care of us. It's you can have the worst nations of the world with all these terrible, terrible plans, and despite it, they can't wipe us out. There's an amazing book. It's called Beis Yaakov. It's a siddur from Rav Yaakov Emden. And in this book, Beis Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his introduction that he feels that as great as the miracle of the splitting of the sea, and as great as the miracle of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, the miracle that the Jewish people survive all the nations that are against us in exile is a bigger miracle. This is a greater miracle. That we've survived the Nazis and the Spanish and the Almohads and the Muslim crazies, that we've survived all these terrible attacks, that's a bigger miracle than the splitting of the sea or the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. That's where Rav Yaakov Emden writes. That's the Yado Netuya Aleinu, even in exile, with terrible challenges. But his hand, the hand tefillin, is still stretched out to us. He's still taking care of us. The Maharsha says that if you go back to the verse of Yado Netuya Aleinu, it's actually a verse of misfortune, where the prophet says God's angry with you, he's punished you, and his hand is still stretched out to punish you again. So why is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya quoting a verse about misfortune to the heretic who's saying that God has turned away from us? Because that's his idea, that even when there's misfortune, there's still underneath all the misfortune, God taking care of us, God providing for us, God helping us. This week's Parsha, Parshas Maaseh, has the list of all the places the Jews traveled to in the desert. How many places did we travel to? 42 places. The Magen Avraham says that there is a righteous minhag not to interrupt within those 42 places, not to stop after 10 places and call up somebody else, give them an aliyah. All 42 places should be read at once because it corresponds to the name of God of 42 letters. There's a name of God of 42 letters. We mention it every Friday night, Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, the first letters of that entire passage are 42. 42 words in Ana B'Koach. That's the name of God of 42 letters. We can't interrupt the 42 stops because it's one long name of God of 42 letters. Why 42? Because that's both sets of tefillin. The head tefillin and the hand tefillin. Eheyeh, asher eheyeh. And when we're going through the desert, we're going through all these stops, it's really that God is taking care of us both in the good times, the head tefillin, and he's taking care of us and also all the difficult times. The hand tefillin, which is on the left arm. The left is the sign of gvura, the side of judgment. And even when there's judgment, God is taking care of us. God's helping us. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that just like the Jewish nation traveled through 42 stops in the desert, every Jew in his lifetime goes through 42 stops. He's traveling from place to place. And we should realize that that God is with us in the revealed way and in the hidden way throughout all of these stops. Well, that could be another idea. Why is the 9th of Av a Moed? Why is it a holiday? It's a holiday because, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya was saying, even when God has turned his face away from us, when we don't have the revealed glory of God, the revealed blessings frightening away the enemies of ours, and our enemies are overcoming us, and it's the left hand, and it's God's hand going to punish us again, but within that, God is taking care of us. We're surviving. We're overcoming them. We're outliving them. That's the unbelievable Moed. That's the holiday of Tisha B'Av that we've outlasted the Tituses and the Romans and the various attackers against us, and we're still here because God is helping us in all of these challenges. And in every person's life, through the moments of head tefillin and the moments of hand tefillin, God is taking care of us. There's an amazing Rambam, a very, very striking Rambam. The Rambam says about Tisha B'Av, it's really a shocking Rambam. The Rambam says, "Umiktsas chachamim." some sages, Noagin Shelo Lahaniach Bo Tfilin Shalrosh, have the custom of not putting on the head tfilin on Tisha B'Av. Such a strange Rambam. If you're going to say that Tisha B'Av is like a day when a person lost a relative, and Meso Muta Lefanav, the dead person is in front of the person, then we shouldn't put on tefillin at all. Now, halacha is that if somebody loses a relative, the day he lost the relative, if the relative dies and is buried that day, you don't put on tefillin that day. Why? Because tefillin are called pe'er, they're called glory, and when a person has lost a relative and he has the dead relative in front of him, he doesn't have glory, he has afer, he has ashes instead of pe'er, instead of glory. He can't put on tefillin. But the Rambam tells us that law in regards to the laws of mourning. Somebody who lost a relative doesn't put on tefillin at all that day. But suddenly on Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says, some sages have the custom that on Tisha B'Av they don't put on head tefillin. Sounds like, but they do put on arm tefillin. So why are they putting on arm tefillin if they're not putting on head tefillin? But the answer is with this Meshech Chachma. Because Tisha B'Av is when God is unfortunately punishing us. But even when God is punishing us and He's turned His face away, but Yado Netuya Aleinu, the arm is still stretched out to take care of us. And so even those sages that wouldn't put on tefillin at all on Tisha B'Av, that meant they wouldn't put on the head tefillin, but they would put on the arm tefillin. That on Tisha B'Av, they would always put on the arm tefillin to represent the fact that God is still close to us. So we have two ideas so far. One idea about why the ninth of Av is a moed, it's a time of longing between God and the Jewish people. That creates the festival, that brings blessings. Another idea, it reminds us that even when we don't have the revealed godliness of the head tefillin, we only have the hidden godliness of the arm tefillin. Eheyesh lachani aleichem, there are 21 names of God within the arm tefillin, and God is still taking care of us and still saving us, and that He's always taking care of us, and even in hard times, that creates a sense of moed. That creates a sense of holiday. But there's another idea that I saw from Rav Moshe Shapiro, an amazing idea. He said, maybe the holiday of Tisha B'Av is from the tragedy itself of Tisha B'Av. Because the tragedy of Tisha B'Av is that when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, to some degree, it's as if there was a death. It's as if the whole world died. There used to be so much more life in the world. And without the Holy Temple, the world was like dead. For example, we have a Gemara in Masechet Gittin. The Gemara says that when the wicked Titus, the Roman emperor who destroyed the temple, went into the temple, he went into the holiest of holies, and there was a curtain, the parochet, separating the holy from the holiest of holies, and he took a knife and he started slashing the parochet. And when he was slashing the parochet started to bleed. There had been a lot of blood thrown onto the parochet over all the years, many karbanot, the blood was thrown onto this curtain. So the blood came out. So Tita said, oh my gosh, I just killed myself. That's what the Gemara says. He said, I just killed myself. The act of destroying the temple was really that he killed himself. Because even the nations of the world, the level of life that they have now is not what they have when they had the temple. The temple brought blessings for everyone, for Jews, for non-Jews. Without the temple, it's like there's a death in this world. And so there's literally less life. The whole world is missing so much. The Gemara says in one place that there was an idea of some rabbis, some Prushim, they didn't want to go on living without the temple. They didn't want to drink water. They didn't want to have children. They didn't want to continue. Without the temple, there's no life. There's been a tremendous death. So why is that? Because God has linked Himself to the Jewish nation. If the Jewish nation are being thrown out of our holy land, and we are losing the holy temple, and our strength and pride is being reduced, God is reducing the amount of how much He has felt in this world. That creates a tremendous sense of death in the world. That creates the laws of mourning, of a dead body being in front of us. There's more death in the world now. The old world is gone. Now it's a much lesser world, a world without the Holy Temple. But that itself creates a tremendous sense of a holiday. Because if God has linked Himself to the Jewish nation. And that when the Jews are down, it means, in a certain sense, God's presence is down, then you know the Jews are coming back up. Because God Himself is certainly coming back up. There's no way that God made a world and He's not going to again reveal life in this world, that the world's going to stay in a lowly state. He's going to always care about His sake. There was a very special rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Yehuda Amital. Rabbi Amital was a Holocaust survivor from Hungary, was in slave labor camps during the war. He lost his family, his parents. After the war, he came to Israel, and he went to Yeshivas Chevron. Then he got married, he started to teach in Yeshiva in the south, Yeshivat HaTarom. And in 1948, when the state was declared, he left Yeshiva and he joined the Israeli army, the fledgling army. And Rabbi Amital, in many, many writings, emphasized that his experience was that the Holocaust was a terrible chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of God's name. And he would say to himself, why did our generation merit to suddenly have a Jewish state and a Jewish army and Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? We're not more deserving than the Baal Shem Tov. But he would feel that maybe when there was such a chilul Hashem, such a desecration of God's name, God's not willing to let His name stay desecrated for long. So 3 years after that terrible desecration, God insisted that for the sake of the glory of His name, for Kiddush Shmo, the Jewish pride has to be lifted up with this little group of 35,000 Jews defeating six nations and creating a state and having all these blessings that the whole world should admire this plucky, courageous little group, because that will create Kiddush Hashem. Tisha B'Av is a holiday because Tisha B'Av is that when we fall down, the whole world falls down. Because God has linked Himself with the Jewish nation. And if He's linked Himself with the Jewish nation, then we know we're going back up. Because He's certainly going to lift Himself up. He's not going to let His name stay desecrated. We know we're going back up. And that creates the sense of holiday. So we had three ideas. It's either a sense of holiday out of longing for God. It's a time to reach out to God. It's a time of holiday because it reminds us that through all of our travels in life, the 42 travels, we have the names of God taking care of us, the Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Tefillin Shel Yad. Or it's a holiday because when we see the terrible losses, we know that that's actually not just a loss for us. It's a Chil Hashem, a desecration of God's glory. And that inspires us to know that the glory is going to go back up and there'll be Kiddush Hashem. Ty? So we want to welcome Ty back from Yeshiva. Maybe Ty will share also some Dibrei Chizuk. A little bit of Torah Seret Yisrael.
Rebbe asked me right before he started speaking if I had anything to say. I just got back from Yeshiva in Israel for 2 years. So he's like, you've been in Yeshiva, you got to have something to say. And I didn't, and it was a little awkward for me. But when I was looking around while Rebbe was speaking, it was amazing. And I was looking around at everyone here, and I figured there's no better platform to... I just want to thank my father tremendously for everything for the past 2 years. And Yeshiva, you've supported me, you've given me chizik, you've let me learn. And, I was just looking around here and seeing everyone here learn, and seeing everyone here working people, and you guys come late at night to learn. You guys all have families at home and have things to do, but you guys still come and learn Torah, and I'm just like so amazed by all you guys and my father for just being able to support this and make this happen. So, and also support me for, I have friends that struggle to ask their parents to come for even 1 year to learn a little bit, and like here I am with a father that's like I asked to come a third year, and you're loving it, and it's amazing, and just that feeling of the support, like I just hope.
I'm a little scared you can go to the dark side.
It's okay, we'll see. But I don't know, if I could give my kids a little bit of the love of Torah and love of Hashem that you give me, I'd be very happy with that. Just a quick idea that Rebbe asked. I didn't have anything, and then I was thinking, and I have a little idea that before Ben Zmanim, lots of times in Yeshiva, guys get worried because we're in an environment that all day we're learning and all day we're trying to get closer to Hashem, and then during Ben Zmanim, there's no structure, no schedule, and like how are we going to keep that up? We're building and building and building, and then we kind of just stop. So we had one of the Gedolei Dor of Shore come to speak to our yeshiva, Rav Avram Shore, and he said an idea that the Mishkan was built. He said in the name of someone else, but I'm not sure exactly who he said in the name of. But the Mishkan was built dafka with a ramp, and the pasuk says it can't be with stairs. So why not? So he explained why does the Mishkan epitomize the Kedusha, to epitomize Hashem? It's where Hashem lives, right? And when you're building up to Hashem, when you're trying to go to Hashem, you can't take steps. Why can't you take steps? Because on a staircase, you can stop for a second, and you're chilling, and you're not moving anywhere. But if it's a ramp, if you're going up the ramp and you stop for a second, you slide down. And that's the Yisod in Judaism, that you always need to be climbing. But then again, in Bein Hazmanim, it's, and also like in life, it's just very difficult. How are you always building? So what I heard a rabbi say an idea on the side. I don't even think he meant it like such an amazing vort, but like the Yisod was just amazing. And he said that when you're in yeshiva, when you're in a base midrash, what are you doing? You're in yeshiva for Torah. You get to learn Torah all the time. But like during Bein Hazmanim, what happens? You go to the basketball court, and where are you? What do you do on the basketball court? You're in yeshiva for midos. Why? Because there's a bad call. You don't like it. You want to get angry, but like for a second you stop and like wait. Like, no, I'm not getting angry right now. And what do you just do? You learned how to control your midos, and that's a yeshiva for you. And then you go to a camp, and you're a counselor or whatever it is, and your camper gets mad, and you're in yeshiva for leadership. And everywhere you go, you're in a different yeshiva. You just got to figure out what the yeshiva is. So tying that into that idea with Rav Avraham Shore, that you're building up on a ramp. How could you possibly always be building? It's not, you know, you're not always learning. It's not possible to always be doing something with Kedusha in it. But the point is that everything you do could become something with Kedusha in it if you just figure out what yeshiva am I in right now? Hashem put me in this position. What could I figure out to elevate this? And what am I supposed to learn from this experience? So I think I'm looking at everyone here and how everyone's always building here. And like, give me a lot of chizuk seeing everyone here, and also just that yisod for I guess life, that wherever you are and like whatever you do, like we can make a kiddush Hashem everywhere. So.
Beautiful.